What You Need to Know is brought to you by Morongo Casino Resort and Spa. Good times, less than 90 minutes from wherever you are. By the way, it's Anthony Peeler past the hour. Linz, what do you got?
Well, earlier today, Metallica has announced their third ever Helping Hands benefit concert, which will take place right here in Los Angeles. Featuring performances by Metallica and special guests, the show is set for December 16th at the Microsoft Theater downtown. All proceeds from the event, which include tickets, fees, and auction items at their auction before the concert, will go directly to helping those in need, and tickets will be on sale to the public from 10 a.m. local this Friday, with a 2-ticket limit per customer. And you can find more info on tickets at AXS, whatever you want to call it.
AXS.
So Metallica, if you want to go to that show, just announced today, get tickets this Friday.
Would you want to see Metallica?
I've seen Metallica a bunch of times.
At this stage, though?
It's one of those bands that I feel like I've seen, and so I'm good. Whereas it's a band like the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Yeah, I think they put on a better show.
Or a band like Pearl Jam. I mean, these are the bands that I'll go see them pretty much any opportunity I can.
Yeah.
Metallica, I've seen enough. I feel like, okay, they're good. I'm good.
Like Metallica and special guests for a charity benefit. Now, probably some pretty big bands, right?
Well, that would be my next question. Like, who are the special guests?
They haven't announced them yet, but usually when they do these charity benefits, I feel like since the tickets are normally a little bit pricier, they usually have like pretty big acts.
I have to call in a couple of favors here and see what I can find.
Hey, King.
Call Lars, see what he thinks.
Yeah, see what Lars has to say.
Call James.
Who's on the docket for that night.
See what he thinks, if he can hook it up.
Yeah.
Backstagers.
Hey, it's right here, like downtown, so maybe, you know, we can go to the show after a show.
What'd you say the date was?
December 16th.
December 16th. Ooh. George has a look like, that could be holiday season, I might be off.
Probably. Yeah, those last 2 weeks of the year, you know, I'm usually peace out.
Yeah.
Well, and also, I peace out because, A, it's the end of the year, but B, I'll have NBA games, bowl games, I'll have a lot of stuff. So, I mean, you know, I take the vacation days from the radio and just don't have to worry about it.
Oh, there's a Lakers game, Lakers-Nuggets game.
Oh.
December 17th?
December 16th. Oh, so Cappy wants to go. Let's talk about this in a second, actually. What else you need to know? Laura sent this in the chat. The Simpsons, now you don't watch The Simpsons. Lindsay, you watched The Simpsons, I'm sure, before?
I have watched The Simpsons, yes.
The Simpsons have been great historically at predicting things that happen
like
way
weirdly.
Down the road. Yeah. And the most recent one is Queen Elizabeth. In 2014, they did an episode of Queen Elizabeth dying, and they had 2022 as the year she died.
Damn.
It's crazy.
That's nuts. They're so good at that.
Yeah, it's
crazy. Are they that good, or are they lucky?
I mean, man.
I mean,
they've been lucky a lot.
Did they sit down and go, hey, we're going to put this, you know, grave, you know, this the years of birth and death.
Yeah.
What do you think? Let's just take a stab here. How about she'll be 96 in 2022? Let's just use 2022 for a goof.
Yeah.
And if we get it right in 2022, so be it.
Right.
I mean, you think that they really thought it out?
No, I mean, maybe. I don't know what their writer's room is like, but I'm guessing that they have some discussion about that stuff because those kind of details, people clearly love it. You know, they go back and go, oh my God, they got it right.
Yeah, they've been right a lot.
Yeah.
Well, this one was on Snopes and it said that it's fake.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh.
Well, then maybe they didn't get it right a lot.
Yeah.
Maybe they have gotten other stuff right.
Maybe we got fooled.
I got fooled.
Let's just say it's right because they get right.
Yeah,
right
we'll just go with it as it's right.
Yeah, thanks, Linz.
Right.
Well, I mean, I don't want to be out there spreading misinfo.
Oh, really? Yeah, I mean.
That's fair. I don't want to spread misinfo.
Somebody, I mean, especially if something as important as this.
Because I remember seeing it on Twitter, like someone saying that people always doctor them after the fact, and they'll be like, oh, The Simpsons predicted it. And people always are quick to like jump on it on Twitter and be like, no, that's not really real. So that's why.
That's me. I was like, oh, that's crazy. That was me. I totally clickbait
that. Right. That is What You Need to Know, brought to you by Morongo Casino Resort and Spa. Good times, less than 90 minutes from wherever you are. So Cappy has committed to go to more Laker games in person this year.
Yeah, I mean, last year I think I went to like 2 games.
You went to the romper game.
I did the romper game, and I feel like I went to another game.
Yeah.
But I feel like this year, what I'd like to do is if the Lakers are at home and the game's at 7, and we're on the air till 5:30.
We just roll over there real quick.
Right. We just head over.
We hang.
We go in.
See, because that's the good time to schmooze.
Right. Well, that's what I'm about. I'm about the schmooze.
You're a schmoozer.
I mean,
clearly we know that.
Yeah, I don't even watch the game. Yeah. I mean, I'm just there to schmooze.
I mean, there have been times where I've gone and I've schmoozed, and then I've left before tip-off, and then I'm home before the end of the first quarter.
Yeah.
You know what we should do? We should just broadcast the show from there, from our suite.
Not a terrible idea. As a matter of fact, I'll take it one step further. How about if we broadcast the 4 to 5:30 portion of the show from where Ireland and Michael do the broadcast?
Yeah.
Well, no, because they're testing a lot of stuff at that time.
So they're like, they're really doing the national anthem rehearsals.
They're testing the national anthem. The dancers are dancing. Like, there's a lot of noise there.
So back to the suite. Can keep the windows closed.
Yeah. Okay. I'm in for the suite. By the way, you guys are, you know, kind of giving me a hard time about trying to go suite hopping yesterday in a stadium that I'd never been in before. And then, you know, finding out that our company actually has a suite there. The hardest part of all of that is when you're trying to do that kind of stuff, if you don't have the right tickets to get you to the right level,
there's security. So how did you get past all those people?
How do you think?
I'm Scott Kaplan.
How do you think?
Alex Van Pelt?
No. Yeah. I turn on the charm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hey, I'm really just looking. If you proactively say, I'm looking for this particular section.
If you're very nice, number one.
Yeah.
And number two, I will say that it looked like I had like my own security guy with me yesterday, because this guy's like 6'5", three bills.
Yeah.
And it kind of looked like
you were important.
It sort of looked like I was important. So I told him, I said, don't say anything. Just let me do the talking.
Yeah.
And you just stand there and look
mean.
Make exactly.
Yeah.
You look meaner than any security person we're dealing with. We'll be fine.
Yeah.
He didn't realize how he was playing the game.
Yeah.
He did a good job, though.
There is a good trick to that, but I'm not going to let it out over the air because I don't want everybody to know it.
What's the trick?
No, I'm not going to say
it. She just said she wasn't going to let
it
out.
I know, but I'm telling you my tricks.
I'll tell you.
I'm telling you my tricks right here on the air.
You can share your tricks all you want, but that doesn't mean I need to share my tricks.
Silly rabbit. Tricks are for kids.
Yeah, well, my tricks worked.
Good. I'm glad that they did.
Yeah. You look pretty good in that bucket hat.
Thanks. I've been wearing it all day because I like it. Got to break it in, you know?
So, Cappy.
Yeah. More overreactions?
Yeah, some more overreactions.
Okay. What do you got for me?
I'm going to go college football world here.
Okay.
The USC defense will be historically bad.
Come on.
They're really bad on defense. I know that they've gotten some turnovers and whatnot, but turnovers aren't always forced. Sometimes it's unforced errors, right? And their defense they're so lucky that Lincoln Riley is their head coach because, you know, the offense is a video game that it masks their defense. Fresno State, they waxed the floor with them particularly after their two best players went down due to injury. But that defense is going to cost them a game or two this season. There's no question. It's not going to be the offense, that's for sure. It's going to be that defense that costs them a couple games.
So I wanted to say something about college football. Saturday was a great day. I spent a lot of time watching so many college football games.
By the way, shout out to my guy Noah Eagle, who called it on Fox Sports.
Okay, very good.
Shout out to Noah.
So I watched the first half of that USC-Fresno State game, and at 21-10, even though it was only, you know, again, it's only an 11-point game, I felt like USC had this thing wrapped up.
Oh, I mean, I never thought they were going to lose.
I saw UCLA.
Oh, my God, against South Alabama.
Just barely.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, we talked about could another Sun Belt team pull off a shocker upset.
Very close.
And South Alabama, it took UCLA kicking a 25-yard last-second field goal to win the game. That's how close it was between UCLA and South Alabama. Caught a little bit of Notre Dame beating Cal.
Another one that came down to the wire. Literally, that ball, that Hail Mary, touched like four different Cal players in the hands and still hit the ground.
Speaking of Hail Marys, you know, did you happen to see what happened in this App State game?
Yeah.
And App State is only top of mind because College Game Day went and did their show.
Right. By the
way,
App
State.
I talked to the people a couple people who work on College Game Day, and they said it was one of the coolest, most fun atmospheres they've been a part of. And these are people who've been on the show for maybe not the entire run, but a good chunk of it.
Yeah, but every time you're going to Ohio State or Michigan.
They've been there before.
They know what the biggest of the big time is. Yeah. To go down a notch and see how passionate people are about their college football, I thought it was really cool.
It was cool.
I loved it.
Yeah.
So college football was an incredible day.
Yeah.
But
you and I should do our own version of College Game Day.
Well, weren't we talking about going to which game were we talking about going and doing something from? Was it the USC-UCLA game or was it the USC-Notre Dame game?
Yeah, the Rose Bowl.
I'll just say this, George, about USC. Look, they beat up on Rice and Stanford, okay? And those are good wins to get started.
Yeah.
Fresno State, even though they're a Mountain West school, they have proven to be dangerous and competitive in years past. Now you start to get into the main conference schedule.
Yeah.
This week at Oregon State,
Oregon State and Corvallis.
Okay.
Yeah.
Not an absolute gimme.
Not a cupcake.
Okay?
Yeah.
Then you play Arizona State the following week.
Yeah.
Timeout on Arizona State.
Timeout.
Did you see what they did?
You want a full timeout or a 20?
No, this is a media timeout. Okay. Yeah. Did you see what they did to Herm Edwards?
Poor Herm.
I mean, look.
Well, actually, you know what? Herm looked like he knew that was coming. I bet you that was negotiated by his agent way ahead of time.
I'll bet you Herm.
By the way, his previous agent, who is the AD.
Right, who fired him on the spot. Herm is probably like, oh, thank God.
Yes.
Like, why did I ever decide to do this? It makes no sense. He lost so many players to the transfer portal. He had like a shell of a team left.
Can I tell you a conversation I had with Herm many years ago? I asked him, I said, you know, would you consider coaching college? And he just, at that time, this is back 2014, he's like, oh, no way. So, like, when he took that job, he took that job, my guess is because the athletic director and him were so tight that he felt like he could do it. But I just think that he realized after the first year went okay, and then the second year started to get rocky, and I think he just realized, you know what, this is a lot more challenging than I need at this stage of my life.
Not only did he lose a ton of guys to the transfer portal, but he also has a whole bunch of NCAA like
violations.
His
staff, has a lot of violations.
Right. They're like, what rules? What NCAA rules? We're NFL coaches. What NCAA rules?
Yeah.
Here's my overreaction, though. You talk about USC's defense. My overreaction is this. USC's going to run the table and go undefeated.
You think they're beating Utah and
everybody? I do. I think they're beating Utah. I think they'll beat Notre Dame.
Well, they're definitely beating Notre Dame.
I don't see anything on this schedule. Now, I can look really stupid on Monday of next week, because if they lose to Oregon State, I'm going to look really dumb.
So I think there's three tough games on this schedule. Maybe four. I would say not tough. Okay, here's how I would rank it. Oregon State, not a cupcake. That's not going to be a walk in the park. Okay. I think they win, but it's not going to be like super easy.
Oregon State's 3-0. They've beaten Boise State, Fresno State, and Montana State.
Yeah, they're not a walkover. Okay. You're not walking over them.
Okay.
Then I think that Utah clearly is going to be tough. That you're going to Utah. Mm-hmm. That they are a physical team.
Okay.
And they can score points too. And then Washington State has been good this season. Washington State has the offense to keep up with USC. And I think they're a little better than them defensively. Now, USC should win that game against Washington State because it's here. But I also think, much like the Oregon State game, not a cupcake by any stretch of the imagination.
Washington State has already given you reason to think that they're dangerous because they knocked off Wisconsin last week.
Correct.
So I'm with you. But my overreaction
and
today...
And then I think the UCLA game, it's still a rivalry game at the end of the day, so I'm at least going to give them a puncher's chance.
My overreaction, though, USC runs the table.
Okay, my overreaction is USC's defense is going to cost them a game.
Okay. I got more overreactions in the NFL, too.
Yeah.
And if you thought my Cleveland Browns are going to win their division is ridiculous, I got another one that's even more ridiculous.
Oh, get this. I've got more overreactions, and I've got a stat that if you're a Rams fan, you don't want to hear. And oh, by the way, Raider fans, we're not done with you. We'll get to that next.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Yeah, 710 ESPN is the only station giving you a chance to win $1 million. And it's not a national contest. Listen every Monday to play Million Dollar Mondays. As we, you heard the cue to call. And the person to call is on the line. Do we have them?
Yeah, Mike Garcia from Orange.
Mike Garcia from Orange?
That's me.
Yes, sir. How are you?
I'm great.
Mike, you've been listening for a while?
Most of the show.
Okay, most of the show. That's good.
All right, so here's the deal. We're going to ask you for a prediction, okay?
Okay.
All right, Linz, what are we asking him to predict?
He's got to give us the two teams that are going to be in the Super Bowl and the final score.
You heard them?
Are you ready?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, it'll be Buffalo 31... Tampa Bay 24.
Okay, there you go. So we got that. So congratulations. You do win two tickets to see the Rams and Cowboys on October 9th, and you are now registered for your chance to win $1 million, man. So Mike Garcia in Orange, congratulations, brother, and thank you for winning.
All right, thank you, sir.
All right, good luck.
Way to go, man.
All right. All right.
All right. All right.
Okay. I'm sure Christopher will have things to say about that. Because he always has something to say about something.
Well, the gentleman just predicted the Super Bowl, Buffalo 31, Tampa Bay 24. That's a solid prediction after week two. I think people generally look at Buffalo.
They look great.
Or Kansas City.
Yeah.
Buffalo's up 24-7 right now over Tennessee with 10 minutes to go in the third quarter.
How's the other game?
The other game is at a commercial break, and it was 14-7. Actually, if I'm being honest, I don't really remember if it was Philadelphia or Minnesota who was leading.
I will tell you right now, it is Philadelphia.
Okay. So, Buffalo 31, Tampa Bay 24. That's a pretty solid prediction. After 2 weeks of the NFL season, George, minus these two games that are going on right now, Buffalo's an important part of this conversation. Minnesota could maybe find themselves working their way into the conversation, but looking at the rest of the league, people, I think, generally think that Buffalo's the best team in the league.
Yeah.
Kansas City's probably not far behind.
Yeah.
And then after that,
a smorgasbord.
Right. Like, where are you going from there?
Yeah, I don't know. But I'll tell you this. On Overreaction Monday,
yeah,
the two teams in the Super Bowl last year, the Bengals and Rams,
mm-hmm,
combined 1-3 through two games. It's the first time since 1999, you may remember that year, that the Super Bowl teams from the previous year have combined to lose three of their first four games. It's only happened three other times, 99, Falcons, Broncos, okay, Bengals, Niners, Colts, Jets. Falcons and Broncos combined to start 0-4. Bengals and Jets in those particular years were the only two to make the playoffs, and neither team made the Super Bowl. So it's just not boding well. When you said they wouldn't sniff the Rams, wouldn't sniff the Super Bowl, historically you may be onto something.
Well, I'm going to give you another, God bless you. I know you're kind of feeling Thank a little you. Congested over there.
I am. The you, damn kids gave me something.
And then you're going to give it to
me. In the non-COVID division.
Right.
I sneezed under the table so you wouldn't get anything.
No, I appreciate that in a big way. But we've been like all over each other for the last like
really
5-6 hours. We've been very close. We've been hugging it out.
We're not really hugging
it. We hugged earlier. We did embrace. We had a nice embrace.
That was hours ago.
I know. And maybe you gave it to me then. Or then maybe when we got in your car together and the windows were up.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
By the way, clean out your car, man.
Yeah, I will. It's not today. Today wasn't the day.
I mean, is that like, do you not anticipate anybody ever being in your car? That's why.
Yeah, I just, listen, there are water bottles on the floor of my passenger seat.
It's a lot more than that. And I'm blaming it.
There was some Aleve.
And I have a dirty car.
Yeah.
And your car is way dirtier than mine.
It was not dirty. It had some Aleve and some water bottles.
Maybe you need like a garbage bag in your car or something like that.
I'll throw them out. Yeah. I got home at 10 o'clock at night last night from Denver.
I understand.
When my ears were clogged.
I got it. Let me give you
And by the way, you deserve a cold.
Do I?
Yeah.
Really? Hey,
you know why? Because
tell me.
You said I did not support Sided on Friday, and I said that you should trip over and fall in your face.
You did say that. And
I hope now I just give you a cold on purpose.
Listen, and by the way, there's been a lot of conversation on Sided.
No, I'm not. I don't even know what Sided exists
when
anymore.
You, right, I know. Now you've given up on it.
That's it. Even though I was the one tweeting Sided when nobody knew what Sided was.
100% right. But the question is now, when will you make a contribution on Sided? And people have been discussing that now for the last few days.
On Sided.
Correct.
Yeah.
All right, listen. Let me give you another overreaction.
Yes, go ahead.
Okay? Listen to this overreaction. This is a week two overreaction, people. Get ready. The Detroit Lions will make the playoffs.
Come on. You just say this because you like Dan Campbell.
Yeah, it's Overreaction Monday.
I mean, come on.
But the overreaction should be shocking, should they not be?
I mean, yeah, but not all. I mean, yeah. I mean, I don't know.
The Lions are 1-1. Guess what? The Rams are 1-1, and the Bengals, who represented the AFC last year, are 0-2.
Yeah.
The Lions are good. The Lions are for real. Rawr.
Are they good or good adjacent?
They're good enough to beat the Washington Commanders at home when they were favored to win.
They're not that good, then.
They're learning to win, George.
They were a pick 'em.
I think they were favored.
The Lions?
Yeah. Well, I think the storyline was that it was the first time they were favored in like the last 5 years.
I think it
years.
Ended at a pick 'em, but they were favored earlier in the week.
36-27. And the Lions, George, don't go to sleep on Jared Goff.
Yeah.
20 of 34, 256 yards passing, 4 touchdowns, and 0 interceptions.
Take that, Sean McVay.
Take that, Matthew Stafford.
Yeah. I appreciate you buttering me up, George. I didn't butter you up on that one, though. I'm sorry, Sean. I apologize.
I mean, I just love outrageous things to say on a Monday. I feel like Monday gives me this extra license to
the
just stay,
that you,
say the dumbest stuff, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, extra dumb stuff.
Like, here, I'll say something really dumb. You ready?
Yeah.
The Jacksonville Jaguars are going to win the Super Bowl.
Oh, come on.
I mean, come
on. But nobody believes that.
No, of course not. But it's
overreaction
Monday. It's not?
No.
You don't think that there's somebody in Jacksonville right now going, we shut out the Indianapolis Colts 24-0, we're going to win the Super Bowl?
That's bleepery, bro.
Perhaps.
Yeah.
But it's an overreaction.
I mean, I guess by definition, technically, yes. But no one actually believes that. You got to actually believe it a little bit. Like okay. When I said the Raiders aren't going to make the playoffs, I believe that.
Okay, I'll give you one. How about the Miami Dolphins make it to the AFC Championship game?
No, I don't believe that. I mean, that's an overreaction, but that's a good one. I think there are some people that probably would jump on that, but I am not.
When you think about the Dolphins, they were down, I think at one point it was
28 points.
28-7 at half. And then I think it got to 35-7. I'll have to go back and check.
But and then it was 21 to start the fourth quarter.
They scored 28 points.
In the fourth quarter.
And Baltimore came back, kicked a 51-yard field goal to take the lead.
Yeah.
And then the Dolphins scored another touchdown to win the game.
Well, they have the two fastest like tandem of receivers in the league, in Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle.
Okay.
Tyreek Hill calls himself the cheetah. Jalen Waddle calls himself the penguin. And, so the cheetah and the penguin coming to Disney Plus soon, I'm sure.
Between these two guys yesterday, Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle?
Yeah, they had like 300 and some odd yards of receiving.
22 catches, 261 yards combined.
261, there you go.
And each of them had a long of 60 and 59 yards.
Yeah, they're sick.
Incredible.
And by the way, those are the type of guys Tua had at Alabama when he was a quarterback that everyone loved.
Tua, 36 of 50, 469 yards, 6 touchdowns, 2 picks.
Yeah, Tua's very accurate.
Dude, Tua, I'm a big fan.
I'm a fan. I wouldn't know about big fan. Like, I don't think he's a star, but I think he's like Mike McDaniels to me is like the next Sean McVay.
Really? You're saying that after two games?
That could be an overreaction.
Hey, good one.
There you go.
Good one.
I think he can do for Tua what McVay did for golf.
Here's another one for you since I'm just now airing them all out. You ready for this one?
Yeah, go ahead.
Trey Lance will never play a game for the 49ers.
I mean, never?
Yeah. It's an overreaction. He's hurt now for the rest of the season, right?
He's out for the year, yes.
So what do you do if you're the Niners? Do you go like next year, you go, hey, he was our guy, and then he got hurt, and so we're bringing him back, he's our guy again.
Or Garoppolo's a free agent.
I know. Or do you just finally just say, hey, look, we signed Garoppolo years ago. He's taken us to two Super Bowls, or well, one Super Bowl and one of the in one NFC Championship game. You know what? I think we just going to stick with him. Trey Lance could turn into like one of those guys, like a Josh
Rosen.
He's
got a high ceiling, higher ceiling than Garoppolo. That's why they drafted him.
Yeah.
That's why they traded picks for him.
But it's 2 years. 1 year, this one, gone. Last year, backup.
That's not fair.
But it's an overreaction.
It's not his fault.
It's an overreaction.
It's not the kid's fault.
I understand that it's fault that he got hurt.
Make it seem like it's the kid's fault.
No, it's not his fault.
Yeah.
It's their fault.
It's like when Justin Kaplan kicked really well this past weekend and the team still blew it. It's not his fault.
You should have been there with me on Saturday. Real quick story for you. We go to this game.
Can you tell the story before Big Deal or No Deal?
I can.
Yeah, let's do that.
Isn't that coming up next?
Yeah.
So you want me to do it now?
No, let's break and then do it.
I'm going to just tell you the story of how this team completely gave a game away.
You're going to do that?
Yeah.
On the other side?
Sure.
Okay.
I can wait until the end, too.
Okay. Great. Let's do that at the end. Big Deal or No Deal and the Justin Kaplan story. A lifetime biography next.
A football life.
Thanks, Christopher. Before I get to Lindsay, let's hear the Justin Kaplan story.
Now, let's wait. Let's wait till the end. Let's wait till the end of the show.
What the bleep?
Yeah, well, let's get to Big Deal or No Deal and then the last segment.
You literally said, we said before Big Deal or No Deal.
I know, but then you were like, maybe we'll wait till the end.
I didn't say the end.
I wanted to wait till the end.
Oh,
yeah. It'll be like a Scotteria.
You're really leaving people on the edge of their seat here, Kevin.
I mean, for the love.
For the love.
Take it away, Lindsay.
Super excited.
All right, so the Jets scored 2 touchdowns in the final 1 minute and 22 seconds to beat the Browns yesterday. We all saw that bleep show, right?
Yep. It was the first time in 2,229 games that had happened.
Yeah, and the last team that did it was also the Browns.
That's
so,
right.
Shocker. All right, so anyway, it left the Browns to try and figure out exactly what went wrong. And while there's plenty of blame to go around, including giving up that 66-yard touchdown in the final 2 minutes, Browns quarterback Denzel Ward was asked in today's press conference whose fault the blown coverage was.
For that play or for whatever plays that we had, but I think the biggest thing is we all just need to get on the same page. That necessarily wasn't my coverage, and I wasn't there to make a play on it, so.
Denzel Ward also responded to a tweet saying that he was only targeted one time, essentially, pinning the blame on somebody else. So is it a big deal that Denzel Ward is throwing his teammates under the bus? Cappy, I'll start with you.
I'm going to say no deal. I would say it would be a bigger deal if he threw his defensive coordinator under the bus. Like, what was that? I kept saying to myself, are you serious? Joe Flacco and a bunch of receivers that I've never heard of before are going to go on the road and do this to you in your home opener? A minute 55 to go, down by 13 points with no timeouts, and Joe Flacco is going to do that to you? I'm going to say no deal, because I didn't hear him like say it's not my fault, it's somebody else's fault.
He did say that wasn't my coverage.
That's right, and it may not have been. May not have been.
But he shouldn't say that, right?
I know you don't like it.
I mean, I would say it's a big deal, because anything someone says in a game of that magnitude, of that and I don't mean magnitude in the sense of, oh my God, it's the Browns versus the Jets. Magnitude in the sense of where it lands historically because of the number I just gave, right? The last 2,229 teams in that situation all held on to win, and they were the team that did not. So I think because of that, and everyone talking about that big a number and that comeback, the way it happened, I do think it's a big deal, unfortunately, for Denzel Ward. And so him speaking out, Linz, I am normally, I'm big on, hey, let athletes tell their side of the story, be honest, but there are ramifications for that too. Like, you, if you're honest, I love the honesty, but you're gonna have to deal with whatever the blowback on that honesty is.
But you know, all these games yesterday, the Raiders will look back, and who will they blame? Will they blame their offense because they scored, they were up 20-0 and they didn't score enough after that? Are they gonna blame their defense? Are they gonna blame Hunter Renfro, who had like back-to-back fumbles in that particular game?
I mean, Hunter Renfro did kind of cost them.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. But you know who I'm blaming in that game? That kicker.
Oh, geez, Cade York.
You miss a PAT?
Should have never been that close, though. That's the thing.
Anyway.
Never should have been that close. Anyway. I think it's a big deal, because I don't think you should throw your team under the bus. You'd be like, you know what? The defense could have played better, and we didn't. We blew it. Sorry. Our bad. Got to clean it up. Anyway.
You want them to be boring.
And no, by the way, I just think that it looks bad when you start pointing fingers at your teammates, because I feel like there's got to be some kind of disconnect there. They obviously, he's speaking out for a reason, right?
You know, you got no time right now if you're the Browns or the Steelers. Steelers, who lost at home yesterday to New England. You have no time because the game's on Thursday night. When my buddy dropped me off at the airport this morning in Cleveland, this was at 5 a.m., his car was packed with his clothes, his pillow, and his blanket. I said, well, what's all this? He goes, well, I'm not going home this week, because he's going to be sleeping in the office tonight, tomorrow night, and Wednesday, all preparing for the Steelers game, which they were working on last week.
Well, good. Now it's a quicker they can move on from this crappy, terrible loss, then the quicker we can get another win and move on, right?
Let's hope so.
All right, so this one, I'm very intrigued to hear what you have to say about this, Sedano. So high school players reportedly could make the jump straight to the NBA again 2 years from now.
Yeah.
The NBA and the Players Association are expected to lower the draft age eligibility from 19 to 18 in their next CBA. The current CBA runs through the end of the 2023-24 season, so high school players could potentially enter as soon as the 2024 draft.
Right.
That's when Bronny's eligible.
Is this a big deal or no deal, Sedano?
It is a big deal, and I understood David Stern and Adam Silver's position. They got a lot of heat from college people about, you're ruining the college game. And then what happened was the one and done situation started to happen. And then people are like, oh, the one and done situation is ruining the college game. And it's like, wait a second.
Yeah.
No, that's not our fault then anymore. We tried to help you guys, and now we're still getting grief over it. Then you know what? We're going back to high school kids if that's what they're capable of doing. So I do think it's a big deal. For a number of reasons, but I think the NBA was tired of being a meat shield for college basketball.
I actually agree with Sedano on this one, because not only did the NBA try to help college basketball, and then not only did college basketball complain again that this is now what's wrong with our game, the new problem with our game are the one and done guys, but now with kids who don't want to go to college, who are either going to play in another country,
G League,
or they're playing in the G League.
Yeah.
There are plenty of kids who are good enough to go to the NBA, but are being restricted by the NBA rules.
Right.
So if you're 18 years old, and this is gonna sound real cheesy here, if you can go serve in the military, then why are you shut out by the NBA?
Yeah, I agree. I never liked the rule. I thought they were acquiescing to college basketball to be nice, and it didn't pay off anyway. So the hell with it.
Hell with you.
Yeah, NCAA.
Yeah. All right, so last one here. Justin Herbert is battling a rib injury following Thursday night's Chargers loss to the Chiefs, right?
A fractured his rib cartilage, which is different from the actual bone of the rib, just FYI.
Yes.
Thank you, Dr. Clapper.
I was told. Clappervision.
How are you?
Well, here's a good Clappervision for you. So what fans are now learning is that the doctor that's tending to Herbert's fractured rib cartilage is the same team doctor that's being sued by former Chargers quarterback Tyrod Taylor. Now, if you'll remember, this team doctor accidentally punctured Taylor's lung while he was attempting to administer a painkilling injection for Tyrod Taylor's fractured ribs in September 2020.
Which is how Justin Herbert got in the game.
Right, that was his Drew Bledsoe, Tom Brady moment.
Yeah.
So, is this same team doctor treating Justin Herbert for the same injury a big deal or no deal, Cappy?
It's a big deal. It's a big deal because this is what I try and explain to you guys all the time. This is when you have an incredibly cheap owner who doesn't go out and get the best of the best. And once this guy did this to your starting quarterback, you should be thinking to yourself, that doesn't seem right to me.
Yeah.
So I don't want to have this guy around our players because they're not going to trust him. And so now here you have Herbert, your prized possession, and he's receiving treatment from the same guy that screwed up the previous guy that's now suing the franchise? I think it's a big deal.
The same injury?
I agree. And I think that, look, there are certain teams that have that kind of stigma of poor staffs, athletic staffs, let's call them, including medical staffs. In the NBA, Lonzo Ball is a perfect example of this. The Chicago Bulls have a history of this. Chicago Bulls almost, like, literally, you know, almost killed Luol Deng. If I recall correctly, it was some sort of injury to his back, and it was like he had spinal fluid leakage. It was insane. And they had previous history issues with injury issues throughout their history. Most recently now with Lonzo Ball, he had whatever he had to clean it up last year. He's still in pain. Nobody knows what's happening. So I'm with you. There are certain organizations that just don't know how to get this right, and I think a lot of it is frugality. I think you are right.
How does that guy still have a job? Like, how do you not fire somebody after they fracture your quarterback's lung trying to administer a pain injection? How does he still have a job?
Well, the question is, how does he still have the job with the team? I mean,
right. That's
you know,
what I mean.
The guy's still got his medical credentials and he can still practice, but if you're the team, why would you not say, hey, look, this guy screwed up our starting quarterback? Maybe the reason they didn't get rid of him is because they're like, hey, great job, man. By puncturing Tyrod Taylor's lung, look what happened. We got Justin Herbert.
All right, what's next, Lindsay? Anything else?
That's all I got for Big Deal or No Deal.
All right. That's it. Tell me the Justin Kaplan story.
So I'll tell you guys a quick story. So on Saturday of this past weekend, the reason I went to Cleveland, it's not because you go vacationing in Cleveland.
What?
I know it's hard to believe. But the reason I went is because my son...
It wasn't just because you wanted to get Lindsay the bucket hat?
Lindsay, you looked very cool in the bucket hat.
I'm not going to lie, like... You're right. Cleveland is not that cool. People don't go vacation there. In fact, I don't even go back there for Christmas, okay? So continue on.
So the only reason I went is because my son, who plays at this Division II school...
Justin.
...called West Liberty University,
yes,
which is in Wheeling, West Virginia.
Wheeling.
Can you imagine a kid who grew up in North County, San Diego, who was at Saddleback College in Mission Viejo, transfers to a small school in Wheeling, West Virginia.
Yeah.
You know, and they have a casino there, like a big casino in
Wheeling?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I didn't know this. Yeah. I'm glad you're telling me this.
Yeah. Now you know you should go.
Because I'm going there in mid-October for
it's
their
a
homecoming.
It's a fun casino. I love it there.
I've never been.
There you go.
So I go to this game. They're playing against Notre Dame. Now, this is a big opportunity, right? I mean, you got a chance to play against Notre Dame.
Different Notre Dame, though.
Yes, right. Notre Dame College of Cleveland. My bad. I should have added that. That's right. Notre Dame College of Cleveland. So apparently Notre Dame College of Cleveland is kind of like the Alabama of D2 football.
Oh, wow.
Or one of the top programs, you know? So I've not met the coaches throughout this entire period of time.
Your son's coaches.
My son's coaches. So I walk up to the coach. His name is Coach Wiley before the game. I introduce myself. I tell him how much I'm a fan of his podcast. He tells me that every time, George, we mention West Liberty University on this show, because he's from L.A.,
yeah.
his phone goes blowing up crazy.
There you go. It's blowing up right now.
And it, and as a matter of fact, his quarterback is a kid who is from ELAC, which is East Los Angeles
yeah.
College.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a lot of Southern California kids that are just looking for opportunities, and they find them at these D2 schools.
Yeah.
So they're getting all hyped up before the game. And the coach told me before the game, he goes, this is our best chance to beat this team that we've had in years.
Yeah.
We can beat these guys.
Yeah.
First offensive series, very first offensive series. We're moving the ball nicely. Shotgun formation, center snaps the ball over our quarterback's head. I'm yelling, just get on it, pounce on it, you
yeah.
know? Kid goes to try and dive on it, can't. Defender picks it up and scores, 7-0. 7-0. We get the ball, we drive down the field, 7-7 ball game.
Yeah.
We get the ball back again.
Yeah.
We go to throw a pass out in the flat.
Yeah.
Ball gets bounced up into the air.
Yeah.
Picked off, taken to the house, pick six.
Taken to the house?
We've given up 14 points to their defense.
A la casa.
See? Oh. See? Right? We finally got this game. I want to say it's either 17-17 or 21-17. And we have stopped these guys. It's third and 20.
Yeah.
Third and 20.
Yeah.
They hit a little out pattern.
Mm-hmm.
Our guy goes to tackle him.
Yeah.
Out of bounds, they throw a penalty flag, unsportsmanlike, first down, they score a touchdown. I mean, you talk about every way to give up a game, you know? Two defensive scores by those guys, and on a third and 20 when you got to get off the field, you can't because you get a personal foul penalty. We wind up losing the game. Terrible. It's just terrible.
I'm sorry.
I know. But I will say this, I love coaching. I love great coaching. I love listening to coaches.
Yeah.
I stood outside the locker room after the game, and I heard the coach kind of bawling these guys out. And they were 2-0 going into the game, and the coach was saying this. He's like, hey, guys, I can live with the loss. I really can. There's a lot of things we'll watch on film that we know we can clean up, and we can fix these things.
Mm-hmm.
I can live mm-hmm. with losing the game. What I can't live with is
yeah.
guys turning on each other or us coming unglued, us not supporting each other as a team. And he was just giving it to these guys. And I was like, I was standing outside of the locker room going, yeah, coach, you tell him, coach. Can't be have guys on the sideline arguing with each other, fighting with each other, complaining about playing time and all this other kind of stuff. So it was, I don't know, man. It was unfortunate, you know, had a chance to win the game. The difference in the game really came down to two defensive scores by those guys.
Oh, man, that stinks.
Killer. I know. Well, could be nationally ranked today.
Yeah, but Justin had a good game.
He did. He had a pretty good game.
Good. All right, coming up next, Dealer's Choice. Dealer's Choice.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone loves a good Dealer's Choice. Wouldn't get close to me. Dance with me. Dance with me. My crop top in the parking lot. Come on, Cappy, you gotta sing this song. Let's go.
I was looking at Google Maps.
Come on, Cappy, sing this song.
With your boyfriend. Nice, George.
Come on.
You should be here
with me.
Oh, dream. Look, everybody's with rocking.
Me. We all know with this song.
Healing with me.
Hit that high note, George.
Looking at me.
I can tell by the way.
I've seen one.
This is not, this is well past your time.
Yeah, way past.
You know who sings this, Cap, by any chance?
It's Numbers.
I just said it. I literally just said
Numbers.
It.
I didn't hear you say it.
I said, I've seen 112 in concert a few times.
So? This is 112?
112.
Oh. I wouldn't have known that.
Come on, dog.
I would have guessed 113. I would have gone one too far.
Oh, God.
Just always one too far is what you said.
Okay.
All right, so listen.
By the way, you know, Justin Kaplan had a heartbreaking loss this past weekend.
True.
So we feel for him. Stephon Diggs just gave me a heartbreaking loss in fantasy football just now because he's accumulated 3 touchdowns and 140 yards, and he's got 44 fantasy points.
No.
Thanks, Stephon Diggs. I appreciate that.
I was facing him, too, and I was up by like 50. I hope I didn't lose.
You might be close, and there's still plenty of time in this one.
Boy, Buffalo is just beating the ever-living you-know-what out of Tennessee 34-7.
The dog urine?
Yeah, I was. Oh, now look at this. Look at this.
Oh, Buffalo just got another one.
And this
going
is
the other
be
way.
A pick six.
Yeah.
Oh, Buffalo is just. I'm telling you right now.
They're monsters.
Yeah.
They're gonna crush. They're on a mission to win the Super Bowl.
Good for them. You know what? Because it's been a really long time since the Bills were really good. I hope they go to the Super Bowl.
Let me tell you something. The Buffalo Bills, when I was a kid growing up in the '90s, ruined my childhood watching the NFL.
Well, of course. I mean, especially if you grow up a Dolphins fan.
I hated the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah.
Now, but I respected them. I hated them, but respected them. Like, the Jets are always the one that drive me crazy. Just the whole New York thing drives me insane. And I say that as someone who literally was born in New York.
But those Buffalo Bills teams, I mean, those were the Jim Kelly, Thurman Thomas, Andre Reed.
Nightmares.
I mean, those guys are all Hall of Famers.
Yeah.
You know, Bruce Smith.
Yeah.
Daryl Talley.
Yeah.
The list goes on and on of all kinds of great players that were part of those teams.
Yeah.
But you're right. I mean, Buffalo definitely, through two games, they've gone on the road and destroyed the Super Bowl champions.
Overreaction Monday, the Bills are definitely winning the Super Bowl. Okay, definitely.
I don't think that's an overreaction. I think that's like a
But definitely.
I still feel like that's pretty still like a pretty solid reaction.
All right.
I think they're pretty good.
They are good. They are good. But Kansas City's good, too.
I don't know. I hope the Bills win because... You know, Kansas City just won. Don't you want somebody else like in the Super Bowl? Yeah,
listen, I'd love to see Buffalo. I think
let me see what Buffalo's remaining schedule.
Yeah, let's take a look.
They should have won last year. Obviously, they didn't, but they should have won last year.
I mean, Kansas City is kind of their kryptonite, though.
Yeah, that's true.
They're playing the Dolphins next week. Then the Ravens. Two games on the road. It'll be interesting to see what they can do there.
I would love for Miami to beat them.
That's not happening. They've owned Miami.
Why? Because I like Tua.
Oh, jeez.
No, I do. I like him.
He's likable.
I like Tua. You know, I think that for a guy who comes into the league and, you know, he comes in hurt and his first 2 years are hurt and it kind of felt like the Dolphins were going to try and give up on him.
He had the Bo Jackson injury.
Yes. I mean, so I like Tua. I'm a fan.
Yeah, he's a nice kid. They got the Ravens, Steelers, and then at the Chiefs, October 16th.
Yeah, that's the game. Yeah. That's the game.
Yeah, and that's it. That's a CBS game, a 1:25 CBS game.
So that's
game.
A regular Sunday afternoon game.
Yeah, and then their Packers the following weeks. They got a bye, then the Packers Sunday night at home. They're going to crush the Packers because they're not that good this year. Jets, Vikings, that's tough. The Browns, Lindsay.
That'll be a good game, I hope. What week is that?
Lions, Patriots. The Browns. Like the week before Thanksgiving?
Okay, that's not... Okay, Deshaun Watson won't be back, so it won't be a good game.
Yeah, Lions, Patriots, Jets. The back end of the schedule is pretty easy.
No way, Lions, man. That's a tough team.
Stop.
They're great. They're awesome. My adopted team this
Lions,
year.
Browns, Lions, Patriots, Jets. Those are all easy wins. Dolphins again, and they have them at home. Oh, my God. They got them at home in December.
Yeah, when it's freezing.
They're going to crush them in that game. At the Bears, they'll win that. At the Bengals, they'll win. Yeah, look, they can win 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. They can win their last 8 easily. Easily, in my estimation. The only tough games I see on their schedule remaining are the Chiefs, obviously. At the Chiefs, that's tough. At the Ravens is tough. That's it. Like, I think they can win every other game.
Are you about to overreact and say the Bills are going to go undefeated? See, that'd be a good overreaction.
No, because I don't think they'll be. Well, they could beat the Chiefs. Just a revenge. You know what? Let's do it.
Yeah.
The Bills are going undefeated.
Right. There you go.
But not definitely. Like I said, they're definitely going to the Super Bowl.
Okay. All right, let me do this. With some dealer's choice here, with just a few minutes remaining in today's broadcast, where'd Laura go? There she is. Because here's what I'd like to hear from Laura.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I, unfortunately, because of, you know, being with my kid this weekend and going out, you know, going east. Mm-hmm. And by the way, I'm going to call for a moratorium on any Cleveland talk between now and Thursday when the Browns play the Steelers. Otherwise, Tuesday, Wednesday, I'm calling for a Cleveland moratorium on this show.
Well, you can't because the Amazon Prime reads are promoting that.
Okay, well, outside of the Amazon Prime reads. Okay. And by the way, I'm the culprit this time, not you. So, Laura, I didn't get a chance to go on Saturday night to the Sunset Room.
Oh, okay.
For Chris Morales' birthday.
How was that?
Now,
it was fun.
Now, it was sort of billed as Morales' birthday and, oh yeah, Bergman's coming too. It was kind of billed that way.
I
saw a lot of the social media. The cake, I don't know who did the cake for Morales.
Oh, Crumbles Pastry?
I don't know, but it looked fire.
It looked
like they had pictures all over the cake of like Morales' favorite people.
I think you guys made it in there.
Yeah, George, there was a picture of you and me and Morales cake.
Because before you decided to go to Cleveland, Morales wanted to do this big, huge birthday bash with me, Greg, and him, since my birthday is on the 28th. And then at the last minute, it just kind of, you know, there wasn't a whole lot of planning going into it or whatever.
Your birthday's on September 28th?
Yeah.
That's funny. Yeah, my wife's is like the day before.
The 27th?
Because you're not going to be here on my birthday, right? Clinton's in that day.
I'm not. I'm in New York that day.
Boo.
Sorry.
No party.
Okay, so how did this go down? Because I saw like a lot of sparklers and dancing, and Chris was doing his whole pony dance thing. Yeah.
So basically, I mean, I got there.
And then he got cake in his beard.
Is that what happened?
I was not there for the cake part because, you know, I work at 3 a.m. So I saw when they delivered the cake. Beautiful. It's super cute. And, yeah, we partied. I left, like, around 10:45.
Why? Did you go get a sleep? Did you get any sleep before that 3 a.m. shift starts?
I got, like, an hour of sleep.
Oh, man.
Yeah. I mean, it was fine. It was worth it, you know? But it was fun. Like, they had the 360 camera set up. So we had that, you know. I tried the burger that you keep raving about.
How's the burger at the Sunset Room?
The burger was good.
Am I overreacting or is the sun? I am?
Yes.
Oh, it's not that good.
It's good. I feel like, I mean, I'm not going to say it's not good. It's really good. I will say I had some insider information saying the chef was different than the time you were there.
Oh, so maybe that's okay. Why. Different chef.
But.
Different burger.
That's what the guy that works there told me. Okay. But, you know. But it was good. Like, I'm not going to knock it. It was good. Like, I would eat the burger there again, 100%.
But you're not, like, where I overreacted and said this is a top five burger of all time.
No, but Funchy has said that that's the best burger he's had around that area.
Okay.
And he lives around there.
Okay.
So he's has stated that he didn't have the burger this time around. Anyways, the burger was good. The food was good. The drinks were good. The vibe was good. Siobhan showed up. Crypto Race showed up.
Yeah, I was going to ask, did we have a lot of people from the Circle of Trust show up?
Yeah, they showed up. They showed up and they partied.
Siobhan was there.
Siobhan was there.
Crypto Ray was there.
Yes, and he also brought Chris and Greg a cake. That was really sweet.
Nice. Lindsay, you didn't make it out for this event?
Nope, did not. Could not make it to that. Which,
really?
Yeah. It's kind of far, you know, it's like an hour and a half away from
Come on.
Where I live.
For
yeah.
reals?
Yeah. Had it been closer, I would have gone, but I couldn't make it, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, you said that you guys are talking about taste tests and Funch. Do you trust Funch's burger opinion, considering he said he loves Tito's Tacos?
I mean, Tito's Tacos is fine. It's not like
considering
the
he says it's bomb.
I mean, it's not Barrio Tacos of Cleveland.
No, it's not.
But he did say Cassell's burgers were good, and they were really good.
Yeah, they were really good. So yeah, I kind of trust Funchy on that a little bit.
I think Tito's Tacos is one of those things that, you know, it's kind of like drunk food, and it just depends. You're so like in a good like place. Mentally, when you're eating it, that you know those
Maybe
are the memories.
Oh, wait a second! Here he comes.
Here comes Funchy.
Here comes
Listen,
Funch.
All I know is when I was working at NFL Network, everyone's like, "Oh, Tito's Tacos is so good. There's always a line." And I would drive by it. There was always a line.
There is always a line, but it's not
like,
that good.
It's so good. And then I had it. And
find,
I was like,
I can find
Tito's Tacos is comparable to like Jack in a Box taco, like a better Jack in a Box taco.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like you know, Serrano knows he's always talking about know your people. Know your personnel.
Yeah.
Know your food. Like, you know you're not getting that, like, East LA street tacos that we went and got. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know that.
I can't believe I'm on the verge of telling you, George, I might actually be getting hungry again now.
No way, dude. I'm still full.
God, we ate so much food this afternoon. I mean, we had two buckets of chips, had all that guacamole, had those fish tacos.
Yeah.
They were fire. I think I may get hungry again. Boy, I got a problem. I got an eating disorder.
My God.
No, it's true. I do. Oh. I can't stop eating. That's my problem.
Trust me, you don't.
I do.
Trust me, you don't.
You guys don't get it.
I dealt with it.
You guys don't understand.
Yeah. No, I we do understand.
No, you don't get it.
All right, we get it. We're out of here. All right, get out of here. You.
Me?
Go. Yeah, get out of here.
I'm out. I'm leaving?
Yeah.
Yeah, I got to go.
All right, bye, Linz. Bye, Lauda. Bye, Funchy. Happy birthday, Chris. See you.